If you're selecting a quarterback in your fantasy league, you want to make sure you are picking the correct ones. We're here to run you through five quarterbacks to avoid to make sure you're prospering in your redraft leagues this year. We're the Fantasy Sanctuary, and we're here to help you win some titles. So, Tom, the first guy that we're going to dive into, Jordan Love. He's been waiting in the wings now for 4 years. He's finally going to get his chance, and you already decided that you don't want to draft him.
Well, I think Jordan Love made the decision for me. The contract that he signed, you know, he could have pushed, he could have played on his fifth-year option, he could have gambled on himself, and he didn't. He's got to be the only player in the NFL who didn't want to gamble on himself. He took a team-friendly deal. The team didn't want him playing on the fifth-year deal. They thought that felt too expensive for a player they'd seen nothing of. And yeah, and it's probably right for Jordan Love to do so, to get that kind of guaranteed money right now, because he doesn't know what the future holds, because he's not really had a chance to play in the NFL himself. You know, he's had less career dropbacks than Trey Lance, who everybody's already made up their minds on. And now you look at this team, incredibly young, as you mentioned, outside of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, nobody really has much experience. I think the thing that's kind of the only positive for Jordan Love is that he's probably going to have a good offensive line to play behind. He's going to have a play caller who now is free from Aaron Rodgers and perhaps can call what he wants. But in the limited action we've seen of Jordan Love over the last 2 years, he's averaged a 60% completion rate. He's only thrown three touchdowns. He's thrown three interceptions. His 3.5% big-time throw rate over the last 2 years would have ranked the equivalent of QB 37 last year. So we've not seen him looking like a dynamic quarterback. And yes, Christian Watson is a dynamic talent and could be really good. You know, I think we're both ready to expect that there's going to be plenty of design plays for Christian Watson. But in terms of single quarterback leagues, I can't imagine a situation where I would want to roll out Jordan Love in any scenario, even in bye weeks, because this Packers team, it's a soft rebuild, really, isn't it? You know, nobody's expecting anything from them. They're going to have to really find their own identity post Aaron Rodgers. Maybe in a super flex draft, I'd be okay with Jordan Love as my QB3, but I wouldn't want him as my QB2.
That's the only scenario where I can draft Jordan Love is in a super flex league as my QB3. I think there's too much of a question mark on him on what this Packers offense is going to be to pay any more for that. And the problem is that, yeah, I'd love him as my QB3 in a super flex league, but you're not getting him at that point in any drafts because of where he's going in ADP. So it's just a guy that I can't get on board with. I can't draft. And I think he's just going to be too expensive. Another guy that's too expensive for me right now, Bryce Young. I love the potential. I love the talent, the current number one pick in the last year's draft. But I just don't get excited about what this offense is going to be. And I don't know if there's going to be enough surrounding talent for him to be able to be the potential. You know, this isn't a guy that's going to have that Konami code. Yes, he's a phenomenal athlete, but I think he's got that pocket mobility. He's going to move around behind the line of scrimmage. But he's not going to add yards with his legs that score fantasy points, quite frankly. And so, therefore, there's nothing that I can hang my hat on and say, this is a guy that I want to be drafted right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look back at him as a prospect and he creates, you know, he creates outside of structure in terms of what the passes that he can make and stuff like that. And he's a good passer of the ball. And it's just, it's really tricky to imagine what would have to go right for Bryce Young to be a top 12 QB this year. You know, Frank Reich would have to have the offense humming at a really fast pace. And they've got a good offensive line. They've got a good defense. So it's like, if they want to, they can lean into the run. And really, you know, when they've got a lead, they can lean into that. I think as a prospect, Bryce Young, we could see him towards the end of the season really picking up the pace and playing fast. You know, at Alabama, he was comfortable playing out of no huddle. And Frank Reich has either really leaned into that kind of no huddle offense and played fast at times as a head coach, or he slowed things right down when he was with the Colts in 2021. They ranked dead last in situation neutral plays with Philip Rivers the year before that. They were sort of 20th in the league, so it wasn't particularly fast then either. And you look at the weapons they've got. this isn't a team who drafted their quarterback and then immediately got him a weapon who could be reliable, because they spent all their draft capital to go up and get the number one overall pick. You know, they traded DJ Moore away. So you look at, there's Mingo, who was drafted higher than expected. I think it's fair to say that his range of outcomes could be quite large this year. Hayden Hurst is a mediocre at best tight end who isn't really going to create dynamic situations. Adam Thielen, his 1.08 yards per route run last year was dead last amongst wide receivers with 100 or more targets. It's 10.4 yards per reception, ranked 67th of 84 receivers with 30 or more catches. So it feels like the cliff edge has already come for Adam Thielen. And I think this is going to be a functional offense. I think this is going to be a real positive step forward for the Panthers overall. And next year, we can probably get excited about Bryce Young. But fantasy this year, I'm out.
Yeah, absolutely. For Dynasty, love him. For Redraft, I just can't get on board with the price that you've got to pay. Another player that you can't get on board with the price that you've got to pay, Derek Carr. Feels like it's just a solid, safe, unsexy guy with limited upside. Is that the reason why you're not touching him?
Yeah, I mean, how many years have we seen Derek Carr just be vanilla ice cream in the NFL? It's like, you know, you look at him and it's fine. It's completely okay, you know, on a hot day, everyone likes vanilla ice cream. But Derek Carr had Davante Adams last year and he wasn't anything good. He wasn't useful for fantasy purposes. So now we're talking about sending him to the Saints, another offense which could easily just slow the tempo down. They've committed loads of resources to the running game this year. It feels like they just want to control the game. You know, they've got a defense that could be good. They want to run the ball. And I'm not too sure about the Saints management and their head coach. I feel like there's still a lot of question marks about them in general. People are kind of high on the weapons that the Saints have. You know, people want to draft Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Alvin Kamara, not me, but other people. Michael Thomas, Chris Olave is somebody that is definitely on the rise after an incredibly impressive rookie season. But he's being drafted as the QB19, and over the last 6 years, he's finished as the QB16. And I just think that's exactly where he's going. He's a complete floor play. He's the kind of player that 6-7 weeks from now, he's going to be on waivers. You can pick him up to cover the bye weeks when he has a nice matchup. But why go out of your way and draft him?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think in a super flex league, as a safe, solid QB3 tied to a QB2 that's got a massive upside, fine. But look, I'm not here to just make the playoffs. I want to make noise in the playoffs. I want to win a title. So give me the upside. I'm chasing that upside. And sadly, Derek Carr just doesn't have the upside for me. Another guy that I think the upside is absolutely obscene, but I think the downside is, I think it's below the floor. I think it's negative, is Sam Howell. If you sat here and guaranteed to me that Sam Howell is the 17-game starter for the Washington team, I would be all in. I think that just the rushing upside alone is enough that he can be a fringe QB1. The problem is that I don't think Sam Howell's going to be the starter for probably more than 5 or 6 weeks. I think that he is going to be so bad, and the rumours out of camp right now are that he's looking horrific, that I think he's going to lose his job to Jacoby Brissett. I mean, are you in that camp that this is Jacoby Brissett's job before the end of the year?
It feels absolutely inevitable. I mean, you look back, the Commanders have talked the big game all offseason saying that they like Sam Howell and that he is their QB1. They paid Jacoby Brissett $8 million on a one-year deal to make sure that he would go to the Commanders. Brissett had interest from the Bucks. He had interest from the Ravens as their backup. But he chose to go to Washington because he knew that he stood the best chance there of meaningful playing time. And when you look back at what Brissett did last year, I think that there was a very above-average chance that if Brissett had stayed as the quarterback for the Browns for the entire season, they would have been in the playoffs. Meanwhile, Sam Howell couldn't earn any playing time when Carson Wentz got injured and Taylor Heineke was in there. And it was just, it was a mess. And there were rumors that Taylor Heineke actually suggested that Sam Howell should start the last game of the season. It was him pushing for Sam Howell to start because he thought it would be good for him. You go back to that one game and Sam Howell, yeah, he completed 11 of his 19 passes for 169 yards and a touchdown, as well as getting one on the ground. So there is that rushing upside that can give a little bit of a bump in a way that Derek Carr can't, or in a way that Bryce Young can't. Being able to put up sort of 40, 50 yards on the ground, possibly scoring touchdowns, really does help Sam Howell's overall outlook. But Jacoby Brissett, he's a well-rounded, experienced quarterback. He's the type which coaches really like. The Commanders, they've just been sold for $6 billion. Make no mistake, Ron Rivera is absolutely coaching for his job. If Eric Bieniemy ends up as the, you know, head coach interim, then he's going to be coaching to prove that he deserves to be a head coach in the NFL. How in that situation would you lean on Sam Howell over Jacoby Brissett when you know that Jacoby Brissett is going to get the ball out on time to where you want it to go? I cannot see Sam Howell starting more than 8 games this year.
Exactly. This is an offense that's got the weapons. You know, it's got Terry McLaurin, it's got Jahan Dotson, it's got Curtis Samuel, it's got Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. It's got weapons. It just needs a safe pair of hands that can get the ball out on time with the offensive, you know, inventive offensive play caller and Eric Bieniemy pulling the strings. And yeah, Sam Howell's going to cause chaos and fantasy, that'll be great. But I just can't see him keeping that starting job for long enough to warrant the price you have to pay, because it's not like you're getting a massive discount on where he's going currently. The final guy, it's another quarterback podcast. It's another opportunity for me to slag off Jared Goff. And look, this is a guy that was incredibly efficient last year, but a huge part of that was because it was Ben Johnson creating massive, you know, inventive plays. He was creating opportunities for Jared Goff to just do something very simple and not mess up. Well, the NFL has now had an entire offense to catch up to Ben Johnson. And I just think that this entire offense is due for regression. It feels like everybody's expecting the Lions to take this massive step forward. They feel like the anointed team. And we see year in, year out, that anointed offseason team tend to disappoint. Are you in agreement, Tom?
Absolutely. And what you've just said is perfect, because what the NFL is going to be catching up to is the fact that so much Jared Goff's production came on play action passes Ben Johnson had drawn up. Jared Goff was the only player to earn a maximum 99 rating on next gen scores for using play action last year. He had the highest rating of any player in the league in QB rating of 124 when thrown out of play action. And 16 of his 29 passing touchdowns came from play action. Again, the most in the NFL in the regular season. Teams don't see all that happening on tape and suddenly think, okay, well, that's indefensible. We can't come up with a way to sort that out. Teams are going to absolutely find ways to shut down on that. There's no TJ Hockenson. There's no Jameson Williams for the first 6 games of the season. And you're looking at players like Marvin Jones and Josh Reynolds and other players whose names completely elude me. There's no tight end of no outside Sam LaPorta. And we know how tricky it can be trying to project anything for rookie tight ends in their first year. And where Jared Goff is going is QB17 in ADP. From there, you know, Geno Smith's going as the QB15. I feel far more confident in that offense. Daniel Jones is going as the QB14. I feel far more confident in Daniel Jones' ability to put up consistent rushing work, which will keep his points inflated. Kirk Cousins going at QB13. Again, I feel more confident in them. I feel like that's an offense which I want to be buying into. And the Lions, look, love the Lions. Absolutely taking Amon-Ra St. Brown with first round pick overall. Absolutely taking David Montgomery, taking some Jahmyr Gibbs. But Jared Goff, I just don't think we need to be taking shots on him in redraft.
Couldn't agree more, Tom. I feel like I've said enough about Jared Goff this offseason to know that people were, yeah, I'm not a fan. If you're here, make sure you're hitting that like, subscribe. We've got plenty more videos getting you ready for that season. It's not long now, less than a month till season kicks off. Make sure you're subscribing and we'll get you ready to win those championships.